Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
There was never any panic. There was never any false manufactured boo-ah speech that someone had to make.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Dan Wiederer is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And he is sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. He is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Dan Wiederer, how are you?
I'm a little tired. Got a lot of work ahead to try to figure out what happened last night, but I'm good overall. How are you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I think we're good.
He's a little gimpy.
I'm not gimpy. I know that I'm not in top physical shape, and that just now I feel like people who watch the Bears game can relate because a lot of those players not in good shape this morning.
So Dan, help me with the balance the scales of Bears emotions here. It's a game. Yeah. It's a game they probably weren't going to win. It's a game where they had the ball and a chance to drive down the field and win, largely because of that late fumble. And yet, the offense is so bad and so uncoordinated that it is giving us this pit in our stomach where there is, Brad Biggs put it, this isn't a crisis, but you can see a crisis from here.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And you felt that in the locker room, Dan, after the game. And that's what was palpable to me. And I wrote a little bit about that in my column for this morning. It was just that it felt heavier than it should have. And I think part of it was because of the stage you were on. I think part of it was because of how rickety the offense was in so many moments. You know, the number of penalties, the turnovers, the missed blocks, the things that created all the negative plays. As you mentioned, nobody really walked into Energy Stadium last night expecting the Bears to triumph, you know, and beat a team that has established itself as one of the best in the AFC, but they failed the eye test. And I think that's what gives you pause, particularly offensively, when you go, man, that just looked ugly. And so now you got to get back in the correction mode, understanding that this next block of four games feels like it has the possibility to give you some momentum, but you have to create that momentum yourself. You can't just wait for it to come to you.
Speaking of failing the eye test, that's definitely where the offensive line fits into all of this. Like you couldn't watch that game last night in combination with the first game, in combination with maybe last season's games, and not just wonder where do they go from here on the offensive line. I'm not Chicken Little, but Dan, convince me that the sky is not falling.
Marshall, I want to watch this on my flight back today because I just want to get into some of the video a little bit more to figure out where this is so rickety. It's just because it was ugly. They haven't been able to establish the run for 2 weeks now. When you can't do that, you're taking away one of the greatest security blankets for a young rookie quarterback. And then when you just allow opposing defenses, particularly one that has two premier edge rushers on its side to pin its ears back and come after you in third and long and then throw some blitzes at you and pressures that you're not going to be able to handle. It gets ugly quickly. And so they've got to figure this out. Look, like I think the Ryan Bates move to IR over the weekend is one that stings. I think that they invested a draft pick in that trade with the idea that he could be a really big time contributor for them in 2024. And it doesn't look like he's going to be for the foreseeable future. And so now you got to make good with what you got there. And you better find answers quickly because, look, like this league doesn't wait for you. You know what I mean? And for a season like this that has the expectations that it has in Chicago, you can't panic in September, but you also can't just take your, you know, kick your feet up and say it's all going to be fine, because it might not be. And so you better find answers quickly. You're going to Indy next week to play a Colts defense that gave up a ton of yards on the ground yesterday to the Packers. And so find some answers, find some solutions to get things going up front, and then hopefully other things will follow behind that.
Is Coleman Shelton an NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, he's got starting experience in this league, but the first 2 weeks of his Bears career certainly haven't been pretty by any stretch of the imagination. And so, again, like I think that you were hopeful that Ryan Bates would be your starting center this year, and then you'd have some versatility at some of the other positions, and you're not there. And so they've got to get him playing at a acceptable level. Otherwise, your running game's never going to get going. Your quarterback's never going to feel comfortable. And the biggest thing that concerns me is when Caleb starts missing throws that you've seen him make, you can attribute some of that to just the nerviness of feeling a little bit jittery at where your next hit is going to come from. And you don't want that 2 games into a career where a guy is all of a sudden missing throws. Like, I asked Caleb at the end of the news conference last night about the third down throw he missed on the first drive after halftime, which he had DeAndre Carter coming open. The play was there to be made. And if it's complete, it's a big gain and possibly a touchdown with the angle the safety was coming over at. And you've got to hit those. And when you miss those, it just is the type of error that compounds when you're an offense that just hasn't established any sort of rhythm or momentum to this point. And you've got to find ways to make those plays. I think it's only going to take, you know, 2 or 3 chunk plays that just loosen everybody up, but they haven't had them yet. And so you got to get there quick, fast, in a hurry.
I know right after the game, you get the answers from a coach who will tell you, you know, he hasn't seen the film yet. He hasn't watched and can't give you every answer that you want. Is there anything glaring that you feel like Matt Eberflus is going to give us today after he does take a look at what happened being the head coach, even though offense isn't necessarily his side of the ball, it's all under him?
I just want him to be a little bit more honest, I think, probably about what he's seeing from his offensive line. And if it's not as bad as we think, then explain why. If it's worse than he thought, then explain why, you know, and start to troubleshoot that.
It's not okay, I can tell you that.
Yeah, right. And so you better find your troubleshooting methods really fast, because you're going to need it. Look, like, you've got a defense right now that's playing at a playoff level, if not a championship level. And when they created that turnover in the fourth quarter to give them life, you're talking about a group now that I think through 2 weeks in the second half has given up 3 points and created 4 takeaways, right? That's winning football. And so you've got to support them at some point, and the offense isn't doing its share right now. And you're going to have to find a way for the offense to do its share. Otherwise, we've lived this movie way too many times where the frustration on that side of the ball starts to really grow. And then you lose all that sort of positive energy and belief that you've built up over the last 6 months.
Cole Kmet was a top 10 NFL tight end last year, maybe better than that by some measurements. He's being paid to be a top 10 NFL tight end. Why has his takeoff this season been so slow?
I think a lot of it is because they don't have any sort of offensive identity right now, Dan. And like I've said a couple times that I'm always willing to give a new coordinator with new pieces and a new system going in the month of September to figure things out, to get the iron out, to get the wrinkles out of everything, and then to show us who you want to be as an offense. And right now they just seem like they're grasping in every single direction, and they're really not getting anybody involved. I thought DeAndre Swift would have a better start to the season than he has. I thought that DJ Moore would be a guy that you know, you could lean on in every single moment you need to lean on. And they're just not there right now. And Cole's part of that, where he just hasn't factored in, and you're behind the sticks a lot. And what do we have? 8 offensive penalties last night, including 4 false starts and a delay a game coming out of a quarter change or a TV timeout, rather. That's unacceptable. That can't ever happen. And when you're constantly playing from behind the chains, you just lack the ability to get to the stuff that you want to do. And they better find a way, because they've got too many good players on this team to not be producing the way they're not producing.
And there's
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Play here where I'm just looking at my notes of the number of times I wrote down Cole Kmet. And one of them is here third quarter. It's third and one. This was after the dust up with Al-Shahir, okay, with the punch that was thrown, after the scramble and the big hit. There was the false start on Nate Davis. Then there was the scramble. Then on that third and one, it was a Will Anderson sack. When he came unblocked around the edge. And the responsibility for blocking Will Anderson was on a motioning Cole Kmet, who is being asked to come down the line to meet a premier pass rusher, set his feet, and do that. And I just thought that when we talk about coordination and play design, why are you asking that of him at that point?
They weren't, Dan. And so that's an interesting one. I wish we could get a little bit more clarity on what went wrong on that sequence, because I asked Cole specifically about that in the locker room, and he said, I'm not pass blocking on that play. He's like, my entire vision is expecting Will Anderson to crash down there. He thought Caleb was looking for a bubble screen there. That's one of the plays I've got starred in to go rewatch in my video.
I'm glad I asked then, because I don't have to blame.
Yeah.
Do I blame Waldron? Do I blame Kmet? Like, this is one of those things where this is good, because I thought for sure they just asked a guy to come get there who wasn't ready to get there or didn't get there in time.
And that was ugly, right? Like, and you watch that with the naked eye and you're like, oh God. And that's why I asked Cole about that. And he just said, so I don't know if there was like an RPO option in there or something went wrong in the communication of what they were running. I do want to rewatch that because it's a bad sequence, you know, and as you mentioned, you're talking about third and short. And these are the types of plays that if you're going to get over the hump sooner rather than later, you have to make. That can't be a punt. You have to get a first down, keep that drive moving, end that drive with points. And then all of a sudden the conversation changes, the feeling of the sideline changes, everything is a little different. So hopefully in the next couple of days, we can get a little bit better answer on what went wrong there.
Dan, from your vantage point, whether it's in the press box, whether it's at practice, what is your number one primary concern about this offense? Like, what do you think is step one to fixing everything that's, I would say, gone wrong, but nothing's even gone right to even say something's gone wrong? I mean, it feels like we're still at square one, even though the season's 2 weeks old.
They're running the ball so horrifically. Their big runs yesterday were scrambles by Caleb. And you have to figure out something in your identity to get that established and get yourself unlocked in that regard. There was such optimism about a month ago from everyone in the building about what they were seeing in training camp, about being able to take a lot of the run stuff they did last year with Getsy and marry it up with the stuff that Shane's doing now. And they felt like that was going to be what they were going to hit the ground running doing, and they haven't. And so for me, Marshall, that's it. Like, you gotta go. Like, and it's got to start again. What, you know, you're driving south to Indianapolis this weekend. I guess they'll fly. I'll drive. And you're going to play a Colts defense that showed that it can't stop the run, you know? And so you better study that video and find some openings and some opportunities and expose it and lean on it and find a way to get that unlocked. Because if you're going to be that one dimensional and not be able to establish it, they've got enough players, you know, both offensive line and running backs, to be running the ball better than they are right now. So this is the week to find answers for sure.
So it's not a personnel issue in your eyes. It's more of a just everybody has to do better issue.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's more the latter. I mean, look, you're not going to change who you have right now on your roster. That's that process is over. So you better squeeze the most out of what you got. And I mean, look, I believe in DeAndre Swift. I believe they've got enough maulers up front that they can create some things. They just got to figure out what that looks like and what the identity is going to be. And again, get it started soon, because I think once you get a few big chunk runs that then lead to some play action chunk completions, everybody takes a big breath, and that anxiety that Dan talked about at the opening of not being in a crisis, but seeing a crisis from here, suddenly dissipates. And so you got to get to that point really quickly. I imagine the coaching staff is right now up in the video room looking at stuff and trying to figure out how to correct it fast.
This is a must-win game, and I can't believe I'm saying it, and I feel guilty for saying it.
No.
I feel terrible for saying it. But if you can't beat this team with this run defense, then you're in real trouble here.
It's a must play well game, you know, and then we'll kind of examine how the result comes to be. It's a must play well game. And I think that was probably my prevailing thought on the Uber back to the hotel last night, was just how sloppy that game was in every way, shape, or form. I mean, look, like you used two challenges that no one thought you should have used, you know, and we're sitting in the press box, not too far down from where Ryan Poles sits. And I know he was unhappy, you know, like I know he was unhappy in the moments those challenges were made. And so you got to get those cleaned up. That costs you a timeout in the second half that you badly could have used, you know, when you needed it. And so like everything has to be cleaner. Everything has to be sharper. Everything has to look like you believe you're a playoff football team and can execute that way, both operationally and when the plays are run.
Players, coaches, they'll tell you we take it one game at a time, one week at a time. We don't have to do that because we work in the media. We can take it more than one game at a time. You talked about the play well, must play well. Dan's talking about must win. I'm with you on the must play well because I see that stretch of three straight home games with a Rams team that is looking like it's having some struggles. The Panthers are the Panthers, and you know what that means.
Yeah.
And then the Jaguars are also not as consistent as they would like to be. So I feel like if you just play better and can take that momentum into that three-game home stretch, you could come out of that with a winning record, like in the Jaguars game with a winning record, which would be 4-2, 5-1, whatever.
Well, just to be clear, that Jaguars game is in London, so that's a quote-unquote home game that will have some wild card factors to it. But I really do, like, you have to hit that bye week at 500. You just have to. If you're below 500 after winning your opener and you're in a stretch where you've lost, you know, 4 or 5 or whatnot, you guys know how it works around here. Yes. The noise amplifies. It gets a little more strained. It gets a little more tense. And then everybody's got to deal with that weight. And that's probably my biggest concern right now for both Shane and Caleb is just seeing how they navigate this for the first time. Neither one of them has been in this market with this level of angst, you know, and so they're going to feel it a little bit. And then they just have to respond to it and find answers, troubleshoot properly and get to some things that gets everybody unlocked. And then hopefully we're here 2 weeks from now just talking about, man, they really did a nice job of getting the ship steadied. Because if they're not, again, we've lived this movie too many times. And I think that's what brings that pit in your stomach up,
yeah,
right? Like you just oh my God, I've experienced this before. And like even talking to Cole in front of his locker last night, he's like, I feel like we've had this talk many times over the last, you know, 4 years here. And like, so that creeps in a little bit and you could feel the frustration in DJ Moore both during the game and in the locker room afterward. Like they've got to get something that quells that frustration right away. No better opportunity to do it than the next Sunday in Indy.
I understand why Velus Jones was inactive completely. Believe me, I get it. And I was interested to see that, you know, there's Travis Homer again, and they keep throwing passes to DeAndre Carter. And on the one hand, you throw to the open guy. On another hand, it's your kick returner. And you have real receivers out there who you can decide to try to target more. Why was it so important, especially early, to involve DeAndre Carter?
Well, I actually didn't have much of an issue with the balls that went his way. When he get 4 targets, I don't have the box in front of me. And the one that they didn't connect on was the one that they should have connected on. And might have been their biggest play of the night had they done so. And so I thought they were okay in that regard. I do think that on those money downs, right, like when you're in third and short, you got to remember plays. I mean, players and not plays, you know, and that's the thing. You talk about the 3rd-and-1, Dan, and the sack that comes from Will Anderson and what went wrong there. Like, you should be able to pick up a yard. Looked like there was another 3rd-and-1 that they didn't get, and then they had to go for it on 4th-and-inches, you know. And so don't make life so difficult on yourself. Know what you can lean into when you really need a yard or 2 or 3 or 4 and get there quickly. And so that's going to be part of this feeling out process over this first month of the season. But again, once that calendar flips to October, we shouldn't be talking about feeling out processes anymore. You should have some stuff felt out, you know, and some things ironed out to the point where other teams can know what you're going to run, and you're still going to run it better than they can stop it, and they've got to get there soon.
The nuance that you're talking about with, you know, sometimes you just got to get that yard. I don't know if I see that with Shane Waldron's offense. I'm praying for it. Do you feel like he's, I want to say, being too cute at times, but when you're having the offensive identity struggles that the Bears have had so far, do they need to have a more smash mouth approach? Since apparently they have some maulers up front, as you said, they who have in the past mauled.
I think they want to see it, Marshall. I think they want to see it because it just doesn't feel like there's much you can trust right now.
Right.
So when you start trying to call plays without trust in anything, that's where it starts to get grasping at straws, or a little bit, and you don't have that conviction of like, all right, it's third and one. We're going to stick the ball in, you know, either or Swift's gut or Khalil Herbert's gut, and we know we're going to move the chains, and I've got my first down play lined up to run right behind it, and let's go. And then you get stopped, and then, you know, I think that was a quarterback sneak that Caleb ran that didn't get anywhere, and then you really had a fight for the yard on fourth and inches, and then all of a sudden you're like, ah, God, this is too hard, you know, and, like, we've got to find something that isn't this hard. And so, you know, we'll see. Like, you know, I got to say, the two scoring drives in the first half, like, there's things in those drives where you go, that looks right. You know, that's the type of rhythm you're looking for from your quarterback. That's the type of flow you want from your offense. It just completely disappeared in the second half. And I think they had 8 possessions after halftime and maybe 11 first downs in the second half. Like, that's not acceptable in a game like that, where your defense is keeping you alive and keeping you alive and keeping you alive. And yet somehow with a minute left, you had first down at midfield, you know, with a chance to win the game, and you couldn't have asked to be in a better position. And then it went incomplete, sack, legal formation penalty, and another incompletion. And you're just like, okay, that was the end of a promising night for sure.
Well, I saw it in the third quarter. Kevin Fishbane noted it too. 16 third quarter plays, only 3 of which went for more than 6 yards. That ain't it. No matter what you want, as well.
UGLY.
Yep. No alibi.
You ugly.
Thank you so much.
You ugly.
Dan Wiederer, travel safe. We'll talk again next week, man.
Thanks, fellas. Talk soon.